it's time for a second shot with George Dunn and Evan Newsom. Second shot, 2.5 shots.
Suitcases. I said it. I didn't like to, but I did.
Before we get started, have you guys ever actually given a second shot to something and have come away with like, oh yeah, and it folded it into your life?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yeah.
Actually, last week I used to hate the Speed Racer movie, and now I love the Speed Racer movie.
Really? Because yeah. I just watched the Speed Racer movie and I hated it.
You're nuts. Hi, I'm George Dunn.
I thought it was a waste of John Goodman.
Oh. You gotta love it for John. You can't waste John Goodman. There's no such thing. That's like wasting water. It's just, it's gonna go somewhere. This is a great start to an episode already.
This happened a few times, though. Like, hasn't it? Like, what did.
I'm pretty okay with The Bachelorette. Like, you know, I'm not gonna like watch it on my own, but like if I had friends over or friends wanted to have me over and like I got a bottle of wine, I watched The Bachelorette.
Who came on for The Bachelorette?
Emily Bamforth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what is like the worst thing? Like where you're like, there's no way I'm giving that a third shot on my third shot podcast.
That's happened probably more times.
Yeah. What's your biggest one though, Devin? I guess we haven't even talked.
Probably the biggest one. One that actually turned all the way around something that I loved as a child was We're Back, A Dinosaur Story.
Yeah.
And talk about a waste of John Goodman.
Yeah. That movie's a waste of time.
I haven't
watched it as an adult because that had Walter Cronkite too, right? Mm-hmm.
It has.
He's the narrator, or he's like Mr. New Eyes or Dr. New Eyes.
Dr. New Eyes, and there was his brother Screw Eyes, and then Jay Leno was like this weird
alien
bug thing.
Mm.
Martin Short is a clown in a circus that's supposed to scare people, but they're still a clown.
And I can enjoy kids' movies still to this day, and that one just didn't do it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I don't know what mine is. I'd probably say honestly, Attack of the Clones. Like, it's worse than I remember it being.
Mm.
Like, that one really was just like, God, like, what are we doing? Like, what am I doing with my life?
You know, I like them more since I watched the Clone Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
I can kind of tolerate them.
Same.
Well, like, I came around a little bit on Phantom Menace and Revenge of the Sith. I'm pretty much the same on. Like, it's whatever. But Attack of the Clones just got worse.
Yeah. I mean, I can't defend it too hard, but I really like the Clone Wars.
So. Oh, that cartoon is amazing.
Yeah.
So good.
So this is a podcast where we talk about things we did on other podcasts.
podcast recap.
Yeah.
Listen to our review of our own show.
So the voice you're hearing.
3 stars, says Devin. Could use improvement.
Second shot after dark. Or overtime. Or what did Bill Maher call it? His like after online show where he just keeps spouting racist
after
stuff.
After hours. If you did second shot after dark, that's actually not a bad idea because then you could do like weird
get
sex
sexy.
Things.
Yeah.
You can talk about weird sex things that you don't want to try.
Just real sex.
And then they'll be like, no, try fisting. Yeah. Only with you guys.
I just play audio of real sex, show.
Yeah.
And so, audience, tonight's initial episode of the Sex and Shot podcast.
Well, I guess now we know what we're doing with the rest of the show, Devin. We went for season 2. We're like, we're gonna go a little bit different. We're going real different.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, guys, watch listenership. The roof.
I hope so. We can't go any lower.
I'm just in the mood for puns now after some of that hee-haw footage.
Yeah. But. Well, let's introduce ourselves. Before
yeah.
We,
yeah.
The voice you heard that isn't Devin Newsom is America's Tim Cornette.
Hello.
The very famous American male model. And comedian.
Yes.
How are you, Tim?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We're sitting in your house lounging on your chairs. This is a bit more casual than
so
we
comfy.
Usually do.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming over. I am in the midst of puppy training, so.
Yeah, cute little Buford.
Aww. Yeah. I have him upstairs in the crate. He's being good right now. He was getting really rambunctious.
So we may hear some, we have a fourth guest, or fourth talker.
We may, but he's pretty good in the crate. He's actually kind of a genius dog. Like, I can't believe how well he's doing, because he's only 11 weeks old, and he's like, he's got like a lot of the obedience stuff down. He's good in the crate. He's good with the potty training.
Nice.
That's good.
You know, I don't want to brag too much because we're still approaching like terrible puppy season, but.
What kind of dog is he? But I'm picturing a black coat.
No.
No?
No, he's white.
Okay. That's good because, like, probably in like 200 years or something, he's going to come out with a song called This Is America. It's Tim Cornette. And it's going to be,
I'd love to see a 201 year old dog, though. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I think that would be more interesting than a dog making music.
Well, I guess maybe not him, but maybe one of his relatives.
Just fart out line.
Yeah.
Like there's still a Rin Tin Tin, but you know he's Rin Tin Tin 28.
They're still making Star Wars movies. He's also in that. So we're going to be talking about Hee Haw today, because Tim suggested Hee Haw.
Yes.
The classic variety show, I guess you call it.
Yeah, I think variety show fits, or yeah. Like country themed variety show.
Yeah, because there's like sketches, but there's music. So yeah, I guess it is like it's of a very different era.
It's like it's imagine musical geniuses that were put in charge of a comedy show. Like the level of comedy is about what you would have, but there's like. It's like pun, amazing musical performance by a classic country musician. Back to a pun.
Yeah, it's like watching your grandpa just like try and entertain you for like an hour, but then also he turns on like just a random Johnny Cash album for like just a second.
It's like having your grandpa entertain you.
It is. I think that's the only thing I remember this from. Honestly, is like my grandpa watching it. Like I was never in any situation in my family where I was around a lot of like American like country culture growing up, but this was like the one thing I kind of remember he watched, but I didn't pay attention. I was like 3 years old.
That's kind of weird that this is the one thing of country. Like,
I mean, like obviously I've been around other stuff, but like probably this and like Johnny Cash.
Okay.
We're the only two things.
I feel like Johnny Cash is like a through line for everybody at this point.
Yeah.
It's almost like you don't need to see, it's like the Beatles. It's like, yeah, I like music. I like the Beatles. I like, you know, like, but.
Yeah, Johnny Cash, a lot of his legacy is oh, this is the coolest guy that ever lived. And like, in a lot of cases, he is.
Oh, totally.
But like, there's also like. You know, if you look on YouTube, there's him singing a duet with Miss Piggy.
Which is awesome.
It is actually pretty awesome to watch, but it's not like, I'm going to sing for the soldiers and like, won't you join me, Miss Piggy?
Right. It's you don't get many cool points, I guess, in a lot of circles.
Right. But he still managed to.
He's a cool boy. I like him. So, Tim, what's your, like, what do you remember the first time you watched this? Like,
I watched it definitely as a kid. On the Nashville network, TNN, before it was Spike TV.
I do remember TNN. Shit.
Yeah, because
God, I completely forgot about that.
They aired the Grand Ole Opry on Saturday nights. They had the Statler Brothers variety show, which is like the Statler Brothers, who are also another country group, for those of you guys who don't know. But, and this is what's weird, because I would watch it when I was like 9 or 10, and a lot of the clean comedians then are a lot of the shitty comedians I work with now. So, like, you do see, like, a lot of, I've met a lot of those guys where I'm like, I remember the Statler Brothers show. And they're like, that's awful. They're like, why do you remember me from that? Yeah, so, and, like, and they would, like, rerun Hee Haw on that. I think that's where it, like, ended its life, because there's kind of an interesting history to it. Like, it started as a response to Laugh-In', which was, like, a real quick, like, sketch show. It's on Amazon Prime now, if you guys want to check it out. Okay. It's kind of, it's really dated if you watch it now.
I mean, you could watch comedy from any era. Like, I always, like, loved to watch Carol Burnett's show. Growing up, just watching old variety and sketch shows.
But that's like the cool peak of that comedy.
Yeah.
Like when you watch just like the stuff that was just like, that's fine. Yeah. Like, and you're like, oh, this is like 1968 humor. And it's not like Dr. Strangelove, which was like 1969, where it's like, oh, this is like edgy and cool and for 1969. It's like, no, this is what everybody liked in 1968.
See, when like there's a lot you can go back and see like, oh, what has aged better than than not. Because the Andy Griffith Show, I feel, is like aged very well, whereas like the Dick Van Dyke Show has not. You know, even though they're a parallel, there's just a way of doing it, I think, to where it's a little more timeless. So anyway, this was put down as a response to that. It was like two Canadian guys who were like, hey, Canada has rural parts too, which Canada always tries to do to country music. They're like, hey, we have a country part up here. And we're like, okay, you can come on down for a second. But then it never works out well. It's been like Anne Murray, Shania Twain, which, like,
I always forget she's Canadian.
And she's not country music. She, like, it's really like Shania Twain is like country music caught a cold and died of pneumonia.
Well, that was it, like that 90s pop country.
Yeah,
that was like.
Are you saying she doesn't impress you much?
No. No, it's like
hee-haw to that one.
Yeah. That should be told in a cornfield.
keep going. I was just cornfield. I'll come back to that.
So anyways, like in the late 60s, after a couple of seasons on CBS, they did what was called the Rural Plunge, I think, or something like that,
Okay.
Where they took all the hillbilly shows, which were popular, which was like Beverly Hillbillies, Petticoat Junction,
okay,
Mayberry RSVP, Hee Haw, and they're like, we canceled all of them. Uh-huh. And then Hee Haw was like, well, let's go into syndication then, which was like really one of the first big shows in syndication.
Oh, wow.
And every market picked it up. And it was produced like out of Nashville and out of like Opryland and stuff.
Hmm.
So as all these things kept on dying, they kept on like folding in different parts of country culture.
Okay.
There was like one part in the 70s where they're like, oh, all these old country stars, all these old members of the Grand Ole Opry, they don't have nothing to do. Well, come on in. So then it was like Minnie Pearl, Tennessee Ernie Ford. They were all part of the cast. Oh, nobody ever went anywhere. Even the like Hee Haw Honeys, which were like these half naked women, they ended up being half naked women well into their mid-50s.
They all just looked like Daisy Duke.
Yeah, but like well into their mid-50s where they still had men going like, yowza, yowza.
Grandma's turning me on today.
Yeah, like, woo!
I hope there's still like a, I hope there's like a website out there where it's just like all Hee Haw Honeys. Like, there's gotta be.
Okay, I'm Googling it.
Yeah, let's Google it.
HeeHawHoneys.org.
But that's like...
it's a benefit for their funeral costs.
Oh, man. That's interesting, though. Like, it all... Like, why not consolidate and take all the best parts of all of that stuff that went away at once? And,
yeah,
like, you're, like, pretty much sure to be a hit at that point, you know? Like,
yeah, it's where George Goober Lindsay ended up. Like, after being Goober on the...
He was Goober
on the Andrew Griffith Show. Yeah. Then they're like, well, why don't you just come be Goober over here? And he was. They had a segment, Goober's Auto Repair Shop, where he just continued on the character, like Frasier.
It was the same character? They're just like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was
Goober.
I love that shirt. His name became George Goober Lindsay. that's his name.
did it used to be Goober? Because that sounds similar to something I've
heard
of. He
is Canadian.
Yeah. Is he?
No, I don't know. The show's Canadian.
No, he's from West Virginia. I don't know why I know that.
Yes, you do, Tim.
Yeah, I'm real obsessive about this stuff.
Any luck with the HeeHawHoneys.org?
No, but there is a TV series, its own TV series on
Spike TV.
It's a Paramount Network now.
It's on IMDb. Lulu Roman, who was the fat one.
Okay.
Runs a roadside diner that features music sometimes sung by Kathy Lee Gifford, one of the two honeys in the title of this Hee Haw spinoff.
What?
The cute and bright Misty Road. Oh, my God. Okay.
What year was that?
78 to 79.
Oh, so Kathy Lee Gifford wasn't even really a person yet.
No.
Not that she ever was, but like she wasn't the Regis Philbin.
Yeah, that sounds
attached.
Regis loves some Hee Haw Honeys, I guess.
This is, okay, this is actually really bad, but this is from my own personal page. It just came up when I typed in Hee Haw Honeys.
Wow.
What's happening?
This is nothing like World Star Hip Hop, Hip Hop Honeys. Oh, man.
I just,
it's a bunch of half-naked women playing jug music.
Blowing into jugs.
I remember watching those commercials late at night at my dad's house.
We're blowing into jugs.
When do they start twerking? Is what I want to know.
If it had it lasted five more years and been like, let's get the Arkansas twerk team out here.
It'll probably get rebooted soon.
With Farrell.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've watched Kathy Lee Gifford blow into a jug at late at night. You don't even want to know.
I guess she started as one of the Oral Roberts singers. I just found that out, actually.
Really?
Yeah. She Oral Roberts made her famous.
Weird.
Yeah, which makes sense because she's in that, like, generic Oral Roberts kind of famous way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's like Regis Philbin? I don't know how he's famous either. Like, he just became Regis Philbin.
He was a sidekick to the Joey Bishop show.
I don't even know what that is.
Joey Bishop was one, like, he was a comedian back in the day. He was like the side member of the Rat Pack, like the guy who was just tacked on just at the end so they could have a comedian.
Yeah.
I think he was also related to Kennedy. No, that was Peter Lawford. But yeah, Joey Bishop had his own show, which Regis Philbin was like, he's kind of like a Ryan Seacrest is now. He just filled that position.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
General.
That's
kind of
what I assumed, because I think Ryan Seacrest has basically taken over the Regis Philbin position anyway.
Yeah, like he absorbed.
He's just
like
the guy who talks to Mickey Mouse on New Year's Eve all the time.
Yeah, he absorbed Dick Clark and Regis Philbin. There's like a Highlander style battle.
I would love to see him cut Dick Clark's head off with a sword.
Dick Clark cut Casey Kasem's head off with a sword.
Coming in at number one. Me.
Number one with a bullet, you son of a bitch.
I am now the demon's hand.
Sean Connery's just over in the corner crying. God. We're funny, guys.
You obviously fell in love with this for a reason, and you think there's... I know you've always been, like, a country dude. Like, this is your...
I'm a serious country music fan. Yeah. So that, like, there's a big part of that. A lot of it is nostalgia.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is that these guys are really good musicians, and you forget that because you look at all this, like, silly stuff, and it is silly. And this is almost, like, my favorite type of thing, where you look, and you're like, holy cow, for something that is like weird and silly, everybody at this is at the top of their game.
For 655 episodes.
Yeah, for 655 episodes.
That's awesome.
But like Buck Owens, like we were saying before, pretty much invented rockabilly. Like everything kind of grew out of his popularity.
Okay.
And then like he actually quit Hee Haw towards the end because he didn't want it to overshadow his musical accomplishments.
Did he stay on the whole time? Well, almost the whole time though.
Yeah, pretty much. Right, pretty much until the 80s. And Roy Clark is like amazing. Like if you Google or YouTube search Roy Clark guitar wizard, you can see what he is capable of.
See the one who's always on the banjo.
He's on the banjo. He was on the Muppet Show one time where he's playing he's playing Rocky Top, but he's playing all four instruments at once.
I've seen that, actually.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the guy is like...
Let me go back and rewatch all the Muppet Show. I fucking love the Muppet Show.
Oh, my God. It's so great. I have it on a hard drive, but my computer is dead.
So do I.
Dead.
It's so good.
Nice.
Yeah, it's... yeah, and Roy Clark was one of those in there. There's actually... Country music performances on the Muppet Show have been actually, like, really top-notch. There's a Roger Miller episode, too, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And Loretta Lynn, as a matter of fact.
Dang.
What, no, go ahead, Deb.
I was just going to say, as far as country musical performances on other shows, I see some real good shit on SNL every now and again. They'll have certain things that impress me.
You ever heard of...
as far as country music, but this past
Tim McGraw?
Week, Tim McGraw, he's amazing. But like this past week, they had Kacey Musgraves on the Amy Schumer episode.
I haven't watched it yet.
I don't know. Like, I know what you mean about like it not being country music anymore. It was like pop music, but like the background, like the musicians, like the band were all dressed up in like country clothes. But it was like totally pop music, and there was like rainbow disco lights everywhere, and
Yeah.
It was just like a club dance beat underneath, and it makes no sense.
Taylor Swift is a country artist.
Yeah, like, it's not... Like,
that's ridiculous.
There's country musicians who rap now. Like WGAR has, like, country guys rapping.
Seriously? Somebody had called it, actually, that, like, modern country music is just rap for racist white dudes. Because it is actually kind of all the same. It's like, here I am, look at my cool shit. But it's all, like, racist white guy cool shit.
Yeah, here's my truck, here's my girl.
Yeah, here's my boat.
Yeah.
I'm out on a boat, living large.
Instead of Akon's locked up, it's lock her up.
That, you should record that song and then put that in right
lock
now.
Her up and don't let copyright her out.
Copyright Second Shot Podcast.
Yes.
Lock her up, shut her up.
Lock her up.
Ain't no woman gonna tell me what to do.
She took my country, she took my dog.
Somebody should have, like, tag Hank Williams Jr. in this.
Oh, I'm going to.
Oh, he'll love us.
I'm sure he follows a lot of hashtags. So.
You know who's surprisingly good at social media? Is Charlie Daniels. Has one of the most impressive social media presences you'll ever see.
So you keep throwing these names out. I honestly don't know half these people.
Daniels, you would know from The Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Okay. Because I like my knowledge of country music is slim, but it's there. Like, it's mostly just the basics of Johnny Cash and
and I know a lot. Like, I know too much.
I listened to your episode of Hate Flow, like, going through it all. And
That's where I didn't even go into it because I had to leave. Mm-hmm. Like, because I was booked on Hilarity. That was a very misleading email. I went back and read that email of where I was booked. It was very misleading.
Just to set the record straight from
a
year ago, whenever that was.
Right, yeah. I should go back on. And I actually touched on it today. I do still hate Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh, he's awful.
So much, yeah. And he really did kill it. So I forgot the original question.
I don't know that much about country music.
The period that Hee Haw kind of took care of, like, because it's just like any other music, it goes by decades pretty much.
Yeah.
It goes from like late 60s, which would be like Merle Haggard, Conway Twitty. Those were like the big guys then, late 60s. Charlie Pride, Johnny Cash. And then it went all the way up through the 80s, which there's like a Garth Brooks episode, like. That's pretty much the era of country music. It saw you from Loretta Lynn and Johnny Cash through Garth Brooks.
The death of country music.
Right, right. I liked Garth Brooks when I was a teenager. But that's like, you know, it's a very teenager thing to like.
Yeah. Well, do you think there is like...
He did
like,
have a song with Nelly, so...
Right.
It's pretty cool.
although I did notice that Donald Glover got away with what Garth Brooks could not the other day. Because it like... he hosted and then sung his Childish Gambino. Garth Brooks did that same thing with Chris Gaines, and people are like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Chris Gaines is the coolest fucking thing in the world. Don't talk shit about Chris Gaines.
Well, when you change...
You should do Second Shot Chris Gaines.
All right, we're restarting. Hold on 1 second. Let me record. All right, hi, welcome to the Second Shot Podcast. We're here with Tim Cornette, avowed Chris Gaines hater.
You should actually find the Chris Gaines CD, because my guess is, with your personality, you will love it.
Grandma owned it.
To everybody.
My grandma was such a Garth Brooks fan. She had that fucking Chris Gaines album.
I had it too. And I feel like this is a terrible album.
I feel like I've only ever seen a picture of Garth Brooks is Chris Gaines, and I know George would love him.
It's just Garth Brooks with black hair and eyeliner. It's and cool as shit.
And a soul
patch.
Oh,
yeah, soul patch. Oh, my God. He looks like everyone in college.
If there's anything a country music star should have, it's eyeliner. Country music fans love that.
Well, I was going to say, like, modern country music, I know we're, like, way off Hee Haw now, but, like, modern country music, like, there is kind of that new wave of, like, you know, new grass and shit like that. Is there anything out right now that's like what you consider good, real?
You know, country? I don't know if it's real or not, because it is what it is. Because there's a lot of nostalgia like mixed in with it, but like, you know, a lot of the people that are singing about like the farm life and everything have died out. So anybody who's singing about that now,
yeah, they're getting their cold brews down
the
street.
Yeah, they're full of shit. Yeah. So like a lot of the guys are like Sturgill Simpson and guys like that. It's good music and it's clearly like influenced by like Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and stuff like that. But with the world being what it is, they also probably got way into punk when they were teenagers, yeah. And that like kind of lingers.
And their punk rock thing
too.
Was rebelling against punk rock and going to country.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of what I did with Blue.
Who's the heavier set dude with the long like ZZ Top almost kind of beard?
Zach Brown.
I don't think it's Zach Brown.
I think it's ZZ Top.
There's another dude who I saw on SNL last year. I'm going to have to... my phone's dead, but I would research.
Was it Sturgill Simpson?
It's a chain smoker.
It might have been Sturgill Simpson. I don't know. He's a heavier set dude with a big old beard, and
yeah,
it sounded
all,
like some real good shit.
Yeah, you know, it is really good. It's just, you know, it is really good music. It's not the classic country music that... But he sings it. Like, he has his, like, songs. Chris Stapleton is
Stapleton,
like
that's who
yeah.
I'm thinking of. Yeah,
that's
it.
Aha.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, it sounds, you know, it sounds good. It is what it is. If I was musically, like, inclined, it's probably what I would do. But, like...
It's just too different.
Yeah. I just like the old stuff. I tend to go backwards. I'm going, like, I just could tend to go older and older.
Okay.
That's where I'm at, too. Like, I mean, I'm, like, my country music taste, as little as it is, it's mostly, like, 60s and 70s. Which I know is not, like, listen to, you know, the fuck's his name? Hank, like the first Hank, but like,
Hank
that's
Williams.
About it.
There's a lot. I could tell you about Hank Williams Jr. too if you wanted to like look at him in a new light. Because
which one's the really awful one?
That's
the
Hank racist. Williams Jr. Okay. I don't like Hank Williams III either, but like Hank Williams Jr., you people aren't viewing him through the right lens because he is like, the music is dumb. But he is like, he's a damaged person. Like his mom was like, put him on stage and billed him as Hank Williams Jr., which is not even his given name.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She dressed him in like little nudie suits, like little rhinestone suits and put him on stage from the time that he was 3 years old.
Wow.
So he spent all that time like getting on TV programs, going into all these podunk towns, like playing with, like all these adult honky tonk musicians, and you know, like they were pieces of shit. So they were like, "Here, how about some cocaine, baby? like, give this baby some cocaine so he can play." You like what kind of pills you like, baby? He likes the red ones.
Or on accident, they just thought kids liked a big bowl of sugar, and they mixed it up the two bowls.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he poured cocaine on his cornflakes.
So as he's aging, he's beginning to like bald when he's 24. He doesn't sound like his father. He doesn't look like his father, but he like, you know, he's still just kind of coasting on the name, and he hates himself. So one day he's climbing a mountain and he falls off. He just falls off, fuck off the side of the mountain, tumbles down. Tears his face off, tears up most of his scalp. That's why, like, even now you'll see, he's like, he always has the beard. He always has dark glasses. He's always got the hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like disguised himself and he's like, the hell with that. Dang. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I want to get into this country rock thing. That was the late 70s by that point. So that was like the thing.
Yeah.
So like, he was doing like Marshall Tucker Band stuff. And then like, he just took off in popularity. He was like, he was actually probably Garth Brooks before Garth Brooks was Garth Brooks. He was like the Country Music Association Entertainer of the Year 5 years in a row. He used to do shit at his concerts. Like, he would take a shotgun and just fire it into the air. Like, old country music concerts sound awesome. Tanya Tucker would, like, ride through the audience on a horse, like,
Oh my god! It sounds like fucking Darth Brooks. Like that's a fucking super villain origin
like
story
Brooks?
If I've ever heard one. Yeah, like fucking puts on all black. He's got fucking scars, irreversible scars all over his body.
Darth Brooks.
And like,
how is that not a thing yet?
I don't know.
You copy- have friends in low places.
Copyright Second Shot Podcast.
That's a duo thing because I couldn't have pulled a song reference out. So thank
That's
you for that.
That's why writers don't work.
I'm sorry. Go on.
Oh wait, no, I had.
You were talking about Darth Brooks.
Yeah.
No,
Darth
like
Brooks.
Like That's fucking crazy. Like, seeing somebody in a new light, I think, is important. Because, like, I think a lot of times when, like, it's somebody who doesn't have, like, myself, somebody who may be, I don't know, black, doesn't have a lot of experience with country music, you kind of see it all, like, it's probably the same as, like, members of the white side of my family view rap music and black people culture. And, like, you kind of just, like, put it all into one group and you don't really, like, get all the stories and get all the, like, fucking details and, like, this is what made this person and all these people, like, follow this person because they've known him since they've been this person, like, 15, 20 years ago.
I think that's, like, all genres of music, though. Like, I could do that with punk.
True.
You know, like, because I don't have the knowledge of country music or hip-hop, you know, but, it, like, I could do it with punk rock or, you know, some, like, emo bands.
Yeah.
They're all kind of the same because it's all, like, this is who I am. These are some facts about my life. And that's why I'm fucking badass. Like, yeah. they're all kind of about that. So people can listen and be like, hey, that's why I'm badass.
I'm badass, but I sound like this.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I'm so this badass sitting here petting my cat, listening to G.G. Allin.
Right.
All right, let's get back to Hee Haw. So, like, what is it about this show specifically more than, like, any other country variety? I don't know if there's any other country variety
show. I mean, there's been no room for any other country variety show. That's actually pretty much it. It's, like, it is, like, it's a catalog of country music performances. A lot of these people are dead and gone now, so a lot of these performances have become, like, kind of precious because it's them in their prime. And then it's added on, it's them in their prime, and then they're cutting up with each other, which is awesome, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's one of the few places you see Johnny Cash cracking jokes.
Yeah, you get to see, there's some with later on with June Carter where he's cracking jokes with June Carter.
That's kind of cool. I gotta find that.
Yeah, you know, that's, oh my God, I heard, I'm gonna go off on another tangent.
That's
but,
cool.
Because June Carter was the comedian. She was a comedian, pretty much. Because back in, like, in the old, like, country circuit, like, the banjo player was always the comedian for some weird reason. But, like, amongst the Carter sisters, which was a huge band with a huge legacy, like, June was the comedian. Like, she was the funny one. And that's, like, why, like, everybody... She was by far the most popular one. That's why Johnny Cash. But there was, I heard a, she did a parody with this other, like, parody band called Homer and Jethro, who are also great. Look all these things up. But she did a version of Baby It's Cold Outside with them that is fucking great.
Oh, wow.
They do it, like, in a bluegrass style, and she's like, it's not rapey. They're like, she's like, I'm trying to get away. And they're like, Baby, it's cold outside. There's one part where they're like, how about a drink? And she's like, well, maybe just a half a jug more. It's really funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Banjo totally is, like, the one of the funniest instruments because it just sounds, like, plucky.
You know, that's actually... Minnie Pearl was, like, an early... Because she was the first, like, not only, like, first female comedian, really.
Okay.
She was, like, the first one... She was the first one in that to just not have the banjo. She just, like, just started telling jokes.
Okay.
She also, just Minnie Pearl facts... her joke style or her main joke was that she would, like, it would be the letters from home thing. So her whole place was Grindr Switch. So she'd, like, go off and she'd tell about back home at Grindr Switch, and that was her main, like, like, shtick. But that was what Prairie Home Companion is based off of.
Oh, okay.
It's, what's his name? Rapey Magoo.
fuck, what is his name?
Weirdo Rapist. Garrison Keillor.
Yes.
He watched the last night of the Opry at the Ryman Auditorium and then based Prairie Home Companion off of that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome.
I love these, like, every so often we'll have an episode, it seems like, where we just get, like, a music history lesson, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm, like, just, like, sitting here listening. I don't even have questions anymore. I'm just like,
teach me, Tim. I know so much about it. I'm so sorry. Like, yeah,
we had Sean Ast on to talk about New York hardcore and got, like, a crazy fucking music history lesson, and... No, I'm loving it. I just soak it in. I'm like,
what is this, McDonald's?
I love learning about all this shit and, like, watching, like, music documentaries and shit. So,
because I'm loving it.
It's really great, especially early country music, because it's like These people were such dumb hillbillies, and the only thing they dropped out of school.
I can't say that.
At third grade.
That's yeah. R word.
Yeah, I think you can say hillbilly. Right.
Hill William.
It seems fair. That you can at least crack off a few hillbillies. Those hillbillies have said some hurtful things. They can take a little razzing.
We're even.
Yeah. they just couldn't do anything but play whatever instrument.
Yeah.
So like when you go back and listen to these things, they're like, holy fuck. Like they couldn't maintain relationships. They were terrible people. But they could fucking play.
But they could fucking pluck that shit.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it's like, totally impressive every time I've watched, like, I mean, I'll listen to any kind of music as long as it has, like, some type of musical substance to it, and you can tell that, like, you can tell when there's actual skill if you've ever played music or, like, been around it enough, and there's a lot of fucking skill, throughout country music's history, so...
You know, and it all actually intertwines. If you want to go racial with it, there's like, if you go like even farther back, it really does intertwine because like, first of all, the banjo is like an African instrument, so it's like it came from Africa. So like, and then the field where, and there's like, there seems to be like this definite point, and it seems to be after the Grand Ole Opry. It seems to revolve around like the beginnings of radio that like a lot of this music kind of like. Split off into racial lines because it's like, whereas poor black people music became the blues, poor white people music became like country and bluegrass,
yeah.
And like weird Pentecostal awesome. Stuff. But a lot of, but it still like runs kind of parallel. You can just kind of go along with like American history, whereas like things got more industrialized and things.
Right.
It's interesting.
That is super interesting just to see how it evolves and where everything comes from. But,
I love the Canadians made a hillbilly show. Who was that? Who's that one guy you were telling us about? Was the random guy that who's like just a regular
Junior Samples?
Yes,
Junior Samples.
He's adorable.
He's put out like a bunch of albums that were just the same thing. He would just Junior Samples was just some guy they liked who cracked him up. He never got through one sketch without messing up. And they would all laugh at him after he messed up. And he was on there till he died. And he did put out like 10 albums.
What
and
did I he think do? Was he a singer? Was he
like the DJ Khaled?
He was a dude. He was just a dude.
But like he had albums. What, like did he just sing?
Like they were like little comedy albums. And he might like he'd do like little sketches. But he might also sing like.
He was kind of like their David Lieberhart.
Yeah. David Lieberhart with like a gospel tinge. Like.
I mean, that is David Lieberhart.
Yeah, well.
I love him. Like, I was watching the first episode, because a lot of these are on YouTube, and, like, the first episode is fucking nuts. It moves. It's just, like, the one joke's over, and it's just right to the next thing. And
I think a lot of that comes from the fact that musicians are writing it. Like, and that's, when you want a comedy nerd out on it, mm-hmm. like, and there's two different levels that you can nerd out. When you comedy nerd out on it, like the rhythm is impressive. It's pa-pow, 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 pa-pow.
Especially for this late 60s, early 70s.
Like. Yeah. You got to imagine if you actually put them in there with like good jokes, it would be like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They never gave you like a reason to like, it'd be like, here's a quick story, here's a song, here's the corn thing.
Counts and high.
Yeah. It's a crow screaming at the screen.
Yeah. Rah! Here's a cartoon pig, here's a cartoon donkey, here's Conway Twitty, here's the Hee Haw Gospel Quartet.
I love those interstitials where the guy will just be like, here's Conway Twitty.
That's where that came from on Family Guy then?
Yeah, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
That see, was clipped from,
okay.
from Hee Haw.
From Hee Haw.
Yeah. Which, you know, Conway Twitty's great. He's
I only know that one song from Family Guy, so I can't.
Yeah, remember. That's I think a lot of cuz he like Conway Twitty has not like the image has not aged well, but a lot of the music is like, oh, it's very
right.
It's like very croonery.
I'm going to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of great. Hello, Darlin' is like, that's classic country.
Yeah. Is that an album or is that a song?
It's a song.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning so much today. I like this.
Yeah. Yeah. This is.
Tim, do you just want to do a podcast where you just sit back and just teach us things?
Oh, my God. I know five things, guys. I can come back next week for dog training. Yes. And then after that, we can talk about coffee.
Sasquatch dog training?
Can George be the dog?
I need a lot of training.
George, well, you just need a lot of consistency and patience.
That's never happened in the 29 years of my entire life.
We could do the This Is America's Tim Cornette idea and make it a real social eye-opener thing, and I'm the dog.
I don't feel comfortable being attached to that.
Yeah, all right. I figured. People will not take that as, like... When you're a big white guy, people will not take that as...
Especially the amount you yell about how much you like country music.
Right.
Yelling at a black man.
I love country music. I'm a red-blooded American male. People aren't going to be like, appreciate the social commentary.
Wait, stay with me here. But you have a black friend.
That's true. That's true. We'll, no, we'll see, buddy.
It's a terrible idea. We'll never do that.
Yeah, no, we won't.
I don't know. You got anything else you want to talk about? I like.
Check out Hee Haw. I kind of want to show Devin Jr. samples after this.
Yes. I got to see.
I don't think I'm actually like doing it justice.
It's so adorable.
I want to see more of it, and I also want to become a rap music producer. Changed my name to Junior Samples. See, there's so many parallels, guys.
That was. Yeah, like a lot of this does seem like template for like something like a Tim and Eric or something like that. Like it gives me that similar feeling if you just sit down and watch it.
Oh, when you're showing me the Hagar twins, like the picture, remembering the Hagar twins picture slideshow, it was totally a Tim and Eric thing.
Okay. Yeah, for people at home, like Junior Samples is also like he's really obese and always wearing coveralls, which. I don't know why. Like, that's the worst. All right.
I don't know how this translates.
Handkerchief. He can't say handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
Is that an outtake or was that just...
No, that they don't do outtakes. They would just run the camera and watching him trying to say handkerchief.
Oh, man.
That's great.
This is his big sketch. It's Sample Sales. He's a car salesman.
Hi, friend. Honest as a day is long samples here. Folks, I don't mind telling you I made a bundle pushing you hard. Starting this weekend, I'm passing my profits on to you. Come on down to the lot and ask one of our salesmen on parole to work out some terms for you. That's BR549 and hold down the collect calls. I'm no Rockefeller, you know.
I have no idea what the fuck he said.
BR549 is a, like now an alt country band that well now they've been around for years but
okay. Really
they were named after that. They are also pretty good. They're like Austin kind of like after Willie Nelson kind of country.
Okay,
I'm into it. Yeah, look them up now,
man. Junior Samples. I hope I kind of feel like there should be a documentary made just about him. Like he deserves his spotlight.
There should be, actually. There's
a 10-minute documentary on him.
There is a documentary if you're interested in a Hee Haw based documentary, because in
yes,
the 80s
absolutely.
There's this guy named Grady Nutt he's just a preacher who was particularly funny.
Okay.
But then they're like, hey, you're a particularly funny preacher. So they had him do like a light sermon on Hee Haw. But you like watch him. He's actually a really sweet, non-judgmental guy. Like he's not like any other, like he's just like, oh, all right.
This
like,
is me.
Well, that's like a lot of the jokes were like kind of like little, you know, like watching it in 2018. It's like, oh, okay. But like the whole show seemed very warm and just like, even when they were like laughing at a guy, it was just like, oh, this is fun. He's our friend, you know. Like there was never felt mean.
Yeah, that's it. It is never mean, even even if it's gawking at women or like complaining about like how much women spend. It's all very like sexist.
Yeah, like the it would not translate into today because there are a lot of men wearing rompers. I noticed that in that one song.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was a bit like, oh boy, okay.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's sexist stuff. It comes up. I don't think it ever like went weirdly racial.
But. Okay.
Yeah, it just seems like it was a product of its time.
It's,
it's just, you got to meet it on its terms in that sense. But
that that's true.
Like All in the Family and stuff like that. I mean, All in the Family is a bit more satirical.
I don't know if I go because it goes back to the like Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith show. Andy Griffith show for the most part holds up really well. There's nothing in there that you would cringe at, and like. Because all the shows were kind of about basic human decency. But, like, on the Dick Van Dyke show, like, a couple times, Dick spanked Laura for getting out of line. Like, there's a lot of that stuff.
Even going back, like, not that long ago, like, 15 years ago, like, I think was, like, the second season of The Office. I was just watching The Office last night. Like, they were more satirical, too. But, like... A lot of the jokes I put in there were definitely pretty edgy. And like,
well, we talked about that on the episode. Like, because Lisa brings that up because the boat trip episode, like, he's like, oh, you're the ethnic. And that, and it's like, oh, geez, this is like 2006.
Yeah, and all the stuff like, with Oscar. And I showed the Diversity Day episode to my 11th grade APUS history class on a bus to Washington, D.C. And it made the only other black kid in our class. She had just moved here from Atlanta, new to the school, and it made her like cry, and we couldn't watch it anymore. And then she like, we stopped in Gettysburg on the way back, and she told this long story about, how when she was younger, got like profile, like her dad got pulled over, who was like one of the best men she's ever known, never did a thing wrong. Got profiled and mistreated by some cops and has kind of scarred her ever since. And so I was like, dang, I didn't realize that this show I love could be that offensive to someone. And I don't know.
You watch that show through the lens of now, and it's not... There's a lot of... Like, Jim's just a fucking dick the whole show. But
you know, that... I mean, they kind of called that because I've rewatched it recently. Okay, so they kind of call that out during the show, too. They're like, yeah, you're being kind of a dick.
That's what I think, yeah.
I don't think 2006 was as, like, it's not like we were all different people then. I think we're just kind of have our noses up our butts now. Like.
Oh, for sure. But at the same point, was it 2009, 2010? Robert Downey Jr. got an Oscar nomination for doing blackface.
That's
for Tropic Thunder.
That never offended me.
No, I know it's not, because the whole point is that it's a joke, and it's like, but I mean...
Then give the man an Oscar. He got away with doing Oscar. Blackface.
That's true. He lost. The only reason he lost was because he was up against Heath Ledger's Joker.
I think that was a response to Dave Chappelle's whiteface, in my opinion.
I was very offended by that. Well, I think that's a... You want to get into final opinions real quick, Dev?
Final opinion for me, I think I actually am going to go watch more of this show, so that technically is a hit for me.
And don't forget about the sideburns. Do it for the sideburns alone.
Oh, sideburns, man.
Sideburns. I'm going to look for some of those old musical performances, and
It was a hit for me. I did not expect to enjoy this. I was like, oh, Jesus, I got to watch fucking, like old man country comedy, like,
which I mean, it is,
but it is. It's like when you like walk into someone else's grandpa's house, where it's like, yeah, they're being kind of shitty, but like, and they're saying words that maybe they shouldn't, and the jokes aren't that funny, but it's just like, oh, he's just having fun.
Yeah,
like,
it's a cute grandpa.
Yeah,
so you get in the right mental state where it's like, let me take you to another place. Like, yeah, I'm gonna take this journey.
It's not bad, like, because he's not my grandpa.
You know, it is because I was actually just in Kentucky like a couple weeks ago, and like kind of like dealing with a lot of my relatives and stuff who are like, they're just very country people. So a lot of that is like, because they're like two or three generations behind where they should be, they're still like really, really country people. So a lot of it is like really familiar. It's like, oh, this reminds me of my aunt Jewel, or my, you know, like a lot of the weird stuff they say.
Your aunt Jewel?
No, well, an aunt Jewel. That would be awesome. It would be awesome. Cause she kind of talks like this.
She also live in a car.
Dreams last so long.
Even after you're gone.
I feel
that's really making me laugh. I think this joke has an audience of one. It's me, but I love it.
I've always had this thing about Jewel where I think she's like an immortal ancient being. And like now I'm definitely gonna scour Hee-Haw to see if like Jewel's hiding in the background somewhere.
Jewel's just in every YouTube video
we'll
ever.
Save your soul.
Just soaking it in.
Who will save your soul? It's gonna be Jewel. She absorbs it and eats it.
Into the soul stone.
Jewel is a soul stone.
She's a lady death.
That's where the jewel comes from. Has somebody done that? Like,
I don't know.
Put Jewel into the infinity gauntlet.
I've seen Emma Stone in there, and I mean, not Jewel yet. So.
Heart, mind, soul.
I don't know who this episode is going to be for, other than us.
This will be unlistenable. Thank you to anybody who made it to the end.
Well, Tim, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for coming over.
This is wonderful.
Okay. This is a great place, by the way. I hadn't been to your new place.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Great, we're putting work into it. So hopefully, as it goes on, it'll be more of a show place.
Show place.
Yeah. I'm trying, man.
Yeah,
I'm getting older. I'm nesting.
That's all I can do, you know. That's all I can do.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. I'm thinking about buying a house. So I'm
really?
I'm thinking about buying my mom's house.
Oh, okay.
She's moving out, so I'm like, that's where I'm at in my life right now.
Where does she live?
West Park.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Do you have a steady enough job, or is the fact that your mom kind of helps you out?
No, I have a steady enough job. I mean, it's not the best. I would rent out rooms, but like, you know, I would be able to make it work. So
that's not a bad idea. Build that credit.
Yeah. it's nothing but garbage right now. So.
Next week's Second Shot podcast, adulthood. give that another shot.
It's also the last episode of the podcast.
Can't do this anymore, yeah. George.
Oh, guys, I got to stop podcasting. Start grinding my teeth.
Well, Tim, do you got anything you want to plug or anything? This comes out tomorrow.
Yes. May 26th, I'm headlining a thing at Dave and Buster's. That guy really wants to sell tickets. He's trying really hard, so I want to see the show succeed. His name is Kevin DeFrank. He's really trying hard to make these shows at Dave and Buster's work.
Huh.
He's doing it as like a series. I'm the first
one.
The one
in Westlake?
Yeah. Which, I mean, like...
That's a good idea.
Yeah, like...
It's like a new casino.
When I went to the one in California, they had a tiny comedy club. Mm. Like a tiny, like, stage and stuff. Like, it was a whole room separated and everything, so...
I performed at a Dave & Buster's once, and it was, like, as a treat for a bunch of students who did not miss school the entire year.
Wait, is this, like, middle school?
No, this was high school.
That's not better.
Like, so it's a bunch of, like nerds at 10 a.m. who never, like, missed school.
Well, 10 a.m. is the best time for stand-up comedy.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to be hilarious.
All comics are awake at 10 a.m.
I'm like, you guys, like... I did something to the effect of, like, you need to start stealing before you're 18. Like, you need to get all your crimes in now.
You guys ready to hear about jokes about how cops aren't actually heroes?
Yeah. Yeah, like, a lot of that. The staff was really, like, they were cracking up. But, like, a lot of the students were... Like, when you, like, perform for students and stuff, and when you do, like, the applause lines, and, like, they're all programmed to, like, raise their hands and stuff, I hate that. I'm like, ugh.
I heard your kids are on the straight and narrow path.
Yeah.
No more.
Yeah. I think I might have actually offered them weed. Your kids are too good. You're too good.
Teach them about business. Why not?
Yeah. Throw it up.
The real fucking world.
Hey, kids. It's about minimized risk.
Like, marijuana is legal in Ohio now.
If I were to give like a commencement speech, I would say, remember, kids, crime is half the world's economy. It's just the half they don't tell you about.
You have a choice to make.
Yeah. You have a choice to make. are half the world's people in prison? Well, then let's do some math.
So where can the wonderful people of David Busters, when can they hear you say gems like that?
That is May 26th. yeah, come out May 26th. He's really trying hard. It'll be like at 10 o'clock.
Is it another morning show?
Oh, no, 10 o'clock. Okay. The other 10 o'clock.
I mean, that makes more sense.
Yeah, I have really now bookended Dave and Buster's both times.
Is it next to the Virtua Fighter game?
Oh, that would be awesome. I would like to be beside, like, the Mario Kart games. Yeah. I should actually have made that in my...
I was going to say, yeah, I was like, you could do some video game commentary. You got that experience already.
Oh, I should actually probably plug that, too. Oh, that thing I do. June 26th, a Thursday, we're going to do another Mario Kart event at the Winchester.
Hell yeah.
I'm also starting another podcast at the Beachland, another quiz podcast.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
I don't have a solid title for it yet. It's going to be something about quiz and biscuits. Quiz biscuits. Yeah, maybe just quiz biscuits. the biscuits are really good, so it's like a good... It's just like come out and like it's pretty much just this over brunch, like this thing that we're doing. I like to come up with games and stuff.
Biscuits and inquiry.
I wanted to come to the last one when you were doing it. I never got a chance. So.
It was really fun. This is pretty much the same thing. We're gonna tweak it a little bit, probably. Okay. Make it a little tighter.
My brother was there last time. He won a t-shirt of Mario and Peach in a compromising position.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, is your brother from Nintendo House?
Did he name his house Nintendo House?
I named that house Nintendo House. Because oh, okay. Those kids that came on just like decimated everybody because they play Nintendo all day.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he has the Nintendo forearm tattoo.
Yeah, I didn't know that was your brother.
Yeah, that's my little bro.
We
yeah.
actually talk about him a lot because he's actually... he's so good.
He's a ringer.
We're going to be doing streaming. Me and Rustin are talking about streaming the Mario Kart Blood Feud. Okay. But like... We're all old men, so we talk about Nintendo House a lot. Like, oh, if they like, they should really be the ones doing this. Like,
that's awesome, dude. You should get.
I've lost all their information. I just thought I'd never see them again.
They'll probably show up to that one again, and contact me. But the one dude, Christian, I think, who's there too, he he's like a partial owner of Bony Fingers, that barbecue joint inside the old arcade downtown.
Oh, really?
Get them to like fucking cater some shit because that shit's delicious.
Yeah, I didn't know they were. How are they? How does he partly own a restaurant and be that good at Mario Kart?
See, things in life don't make sense to me because I try to eat barbecue and play video games and nothing happens.
How are successful? Some successful comedians happy?
I guess I should sell barbecue instead of eat barbecue, but I don't know.
Huh. Well, yeah. Tell them that we remember them and that they should come over and play some Mario Kart while streaming.
Totes will. And he surpassed me in Mario Kart skills, too, which is impressive.
They were doing, like, stuff you only see on YouTube. Like, these guys were, like, in the game. Like,
they're so good.
Yeah, I was like, holy cow. And it's the new Mario Kart, too, which has not had its way to, like, make its way around.
Are you guys playing it on Switch or Wii U?
We were playing it on Switch this that time around, but we rotate Mario Switch Karts. It up. Yeah, the last one was Wii.
Okay. I was gonna come to Double Dash and ended up having to work. Double Dash is my game. That's the one I own on.
Double Dash is coming back at some point, but it seems like, and maybe I can ask you on this. Do you need teams? Because that's the big function of Double Dash.
Yeah.
But then like making people register as teams as another layer of difficulty.
Yeah, because you did it for like a Valentine's Day thing, didn't you, or something? Right. Yeah. I don't know. I always play. I was good at switching back and forth on myself.
And I could do that too. Like like choose both your characters, but then it seems like you should have a trusted partner. Like that's to take advantage of it.
That's like it adds a whole other element to it. Yeah, you're right.
Mario Kart's really complex, guys.
It is. Well, I mean, thank you, Tim, for. I'm really, really good at this. Thank you again for coming on and talking about Mario Kart. It's going to be separated into like four episodes.
Second well, shot to Mario, hee-haw.
We'll be on for Chris Gaines.
after you've fallen in love with the album and defend it on Facebook.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna like it's gonna go. It's gonna be like my love for Fast and the Furious. It's gonna start ironic and just become just completely genuine and like jump up to number one. all right, well, we will be back next week. I don't know what we're doing exactly yet, but we'll be talking about something.
Yeah. And until then, follow us at Second Shot Pod on Gmail. At gmail.com.
On gmail.com.
At Second Shot Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, and all that good stuff.
Facebook.
Yeah, and other than that, you know, we'll see you guys next week. And bye. I get to spit your face.
Come to see me, baby, and bring a